All right. Good morning, everybody. I want to say this. I recognize we're getting dangerously close to lunch, and I am not going to talk about the ribs that I have slow cooking in my slow cooker for the last 4 hours. I won't think about that and talk about that. This will be an abbreviated lesson, okay? This has been an amazing service. I hope you've been encouraged. Today, we are continuing our By Faith series. The hope here is we're talking about some physical meat. The hope is to give you some spiritual meat to chew on for this week coming up. By faith, Jephthah. Today we're talking about Jephthah. And that's a character. When I first heard about this, I said, I have no idea who that is. I've read through the Bible a few times. I had to go into the archive to figure out who the heck is this guy. And this is where we turn to, next slide, please. This is where we turn back to Hebrews 11. We continue, and he says, what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, and so on. And so we have the Hall of Faith, which honestly is a made-up term. Makes us think about Cooperstown, New York, the Baseball Hall of Fame. In the Baseball Hall of Fame, you have athletes that are just kind of freak athletes, that are incredible with home runs, that made a big difference on their team, that were elected for doing incredible things. And it makes sense when it comes to the Hall of Faith, right? We've got David and Noah and Moses, heroes who had done incredible things. And then we get to Jephthah. I feel uncomfortable talking negatively about this guy because we're talking about him today. But when I read his story, I had to ask, is there another Jephthah? I mean, why on earth is he in the Hall of Faith, right? And I thought about it. I'm going to share his story in a moment. But the more I thought about it, I realized it wasn't necessarily, it definitely was not because he did great things. If we think of the Hall of Faith of having done great things, and yes, there are people who had done great things, but I think the Hall of Faith may be more appropriately named the Hall of Faithfulness, the Hall of God displaying his faithfulness through certain people. Jephthah was a canvas for God's faithfulness. It wasn't necessarily what he did, but it was what God did through him and despite him and in him. And at the end of the day, that's all I want to be known for when it comes to me and God. I don't need to be the David. I don't need to be in the Hall of Faith for what I did. I want to be known as a canvas for God's faithfulness. Don't you want that, church? At the end of your life, to hold up the canvas and say, that was God's work. I hope you recognize him more because of who I am. That God drew, that he gave the brush strokes on your life and on your story. And that's where we find Jephthah, a canvas for God's faithfulness. Jephthah is an interesting story. It's in a really difficult time in the Israelite history. They had gone through 18 years of oppression, some sort of like enslavement to the Philistines and to the Ammonites. And eventually they get fed up and they go to God and they go, God, we need your help. Please come and deliver us. And God has a little conversation with them. He goes, well, why don't you talk to the foreign gods that you've been prostituting yourself for the last 18 years? Oh God, we're so sorry. No, seriously, help us. And when God doesn't immediately reply, they take things into their own hands. They find a man in the hills, a man who was born, the mother was a prostitute. The father kicked him out of the household, sent him into the hills. He was the leader of a rebel gang in the hills. Different commentaries refer to Jephthah as a mob leader, a gang leader. I mean, this is just straight up, he is a bad dude. Okay, it is like if the Murdochs and the Garrisons stopped leading the New Jersey church, and then someone comes up and says, I got an idea for who should lead us. I'll go, all right, well, tell us about, he's a great guy, great leader. He's a very strong family man. He's really effective in organizing different things. And they come before you and offer up Don Corleone, the Godfather. They go, he loves his family. Don't we want that in the church, right? Guys, that's who Jephthah was. I mean, he's a scoundrel. He was a leader of a group of scoundrels. And like the Godfather, when the Israelites approach him, they go, "We'd love for you to lead our people through war." And Jephthah, like the good Godfather he is, goes, "What's in it for me? Hey, we'll make you a commander." "No, I would like to be the ruler." Okay, we'll see how it goes. So Jephthah, with the reign of the Israelite army, filled with the Spirit, goes to war. But before he goes to war, he makes an oath. He looks into the town and says, "Whatever walks through that door, if we come back and win, I will sacrifice it to you." They go to war. They win the war. They come back, and he holds up on his oath as his daughter walks through the door. And he does it. He sacrifices his daughter as a burnt offering to God. And we know God is definitely not pleased with that. It's a terrible thing that he does. And then his rule goes on for a little while longer. But he blew in, blew up, and blew out. He led for 6 years, and that was Jephthah's story. I'm glad this is an abbreviated lesson, because there's not a whole lot to share about Jephthah. But somehow, Jephthah made it into the Hall of Faith. Somehow, Jephthah made it. And it definitely was not because of the great things that he did, but it was because God, in a time of incredible struggle in Israel's history, in a time of people turning their backs away from God, God displayed his faithfulness to the Israelites through Jephthah and delivered them in battle. That's kind of what we have to pull. And so when we think about what we can learn from Jephthah, I don't want to make fun of him too much, but the one thing I'll say that we can learn from him is how we can be a canvas for God's faithfulness, right? Jephthah, in this story, in Judges 11, 29, this is probably the redeeming moment. "Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah. He crossed Gilead of Manasseh, passed through the Mizpah of Gilead, and from there he advanced against the Amorites. The Spirit of the Lord came on him, and he advanced." If you want to be a canvas for God's glory, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you advance. It's saying yes to God's nudges. It's saying yes when God whispers something in your ear and saying, "Yes, I will do it." I've heard this phrase, "Large doors swing on small hinges." Great things are often the result of small yeses. And we think about the New Testament story. Jesus says yes to the Spirit and goes out into the wilderness where he perseveres against temptation. We hear Peter, when prompted to go with Cornelius's men to the Gentiles, he could have said, "You know what, Gentiles, Jews, we don't mix, no thank you." But when prompted by the Spirit, he said yes. And what could have been a Jewish religion is now open for all of us today to know Jesus and celebrate him. You know, when it comes to Ananias was told by God, the Spirit said to him, "Go find Saul." And Ananias goes, "Saul, the guy who was killing Christians? You want me to go find him?" Ananias says yes. And if Ananias said no, there may not be a Paul. Philip, by the Ethiopian eunuch, is prompted by the Spirit to go out into the desert streets, to go and stand by a cart, and he says yes. He could have said, "No, I'm not going to do that." But he said yes, and the Ethiopian eunuch fell in love with Jesus, made him his Lord, and became the first missionary to Africa. It's the little yeses. It's saying yes to God's nudges that make us canvases for his faithfulness. Amen. The Spirit of God is certainly more evangelistic by nature. He's more loving, more caring, more sensitive. He's compassionate, and he's quick to forgive. And so when the Spirit whispers in your ear and says something to you, it's often uncomfortable because it almost feels against our nature. It's something that we got to wrestle with when the Spirit of God says something to us, nudges us. We realize, "Ooh, I don't know if I like that, right? I don't know how I feel about what you're saying to me, God, right now." It's scary. But a man or woman of God that hopes to make impact and allow God to use their life as a canvas says yes. You know, I love that it's often just a nudge. It's not the neon lights and the PA speakers. I mean, I would love if Clifton High School, if God got on the mic and said, Matt, I need you to blank, right? But the Holy Spirit often speaks in the whisper, in the little nudge, in the prod, when prodding someone gently in order to draw their attention to something. That's how God works. And it's not always the grand gestures and the great things. It's often the little nudges when we say yes to them that allow our lives to be a canvas for God's glory. Now, I remember as a college student, my freshman year, talk about onward and upward. I remember as a freshman at William Patterson University, my roommate was snoring. He was asleep. I needed homework to be done. So I went into the lobby area of my dormitory. As I'm sitting there at 2 a.m., a girl that had probably drank a little too much comes up to me and sits down right next to me and starts talking to me. And I'm like, uh-oh, I don't know where this is going to go. This is not good. And I tell you the truth, the Spirit of God felt like he whispered in my ear, invite her to Bible talk. And I'm like, she drank too much. She's not even going to remember the fact that I'm going to invite her to Bible talk the next day. But I was like, do you want to come to Bible talk? Like, I got to do homework, please go away. And sure enough, the next day I followed up with her after my invite and she came to Bible talk. And she studied the Bible with a girl named Brielle Chamberlain, who later became my wife. But this girl wound up studying the Bible a few times. And I remember, and there's been so many times since then, but the Spirit of God whispers. He says something. And when you answer his call, you'd be blown away by what he does in your life. The Spirit of God might be saying to send that random text or call to someone out of the blue. You ever received a text or call out of someone out of the blue that was exactly what you needed? That's the Spirit of God working. The Spirit of God is prompting us to look away when everything in you wants to look. It's saying, God, I won't look. Thank you for telling me that. The Spirit of God whispers to speak up when something isn't right and isn't being addressed. We got to talk about it. The Spirit of God chooses to forgive instead of harboring bitterness. Forgive him. Forgive her. The Spirit of God mentions Jesus with someone in a conversation because we know that there is power in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God encourages us and whispers to us to set our alarm a touch earlier to spend some time with God in the quiet. The Spirit of God whispers to us to confess our sin quickly so we don't carry a burden that doesn't belong to us. You know, I love the Spirit of God is all around us. You know, disciples of Jesus, the Spirit of God lives within you. He is not on vacation gone fishing. He's not like somewhere else. He is residing in you. He bought apartment space in your heart and he is there. And he is involved and he is active. But sometimes when it comes to listening to the nudges of the Holy Spirit, it feels a little bit like we're on AM looking for an FM station. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's like when you're on Netflix looking for a Hulu show, right? It feels like, man, where is it? God, where are you? Where are these promptings? Where is the voice? But church, let me remind you that God is with you and he's all around you. I think if we are sensitive to the fact that God wants to use each of us for his glory, he has the brush in his hand and he wants to use your life as a canvas for his glory. If we allow ourselves to be sensitive to what God might have to say to us, I have lost the frequency of the Spirit's voice in my life when I get good at logically expressing why I shouldn't obey it. Hey, you should, something in me, go share your faith with that person. And I go, I don't know him. That is weird. What if he says no? And I can logically justify why not to do what the Spirit says. But you never know what happens when you open your mouth. You never know what happens when you say yes to the different flavors and prompting of the Spirit. Church, let's look for him this week. Let's look for it today. Let's be sensitive to the whispers and the nudges that God is saying to you, to allow the brushstroke that God uses to paint his faithfulness on your canvas. Let's close out together in prayer. And I pray and I hope each of us keep an eye and an ear out for the nudges that God is giving. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you are incredible. Thank you for loving us and knowing us and pursuing us. God, thank you for all the graduates who went on to onward and upward. But Lord, I love that if I were to take a poll of the church of the last year, how many people have grown onward and upward in their walks with you? God, you are shaping us and molding us and transforming us. Thank you for your whispers. Thank you for not being a barking general that tells us what to do, but instead invites us and whispers in our ears and nudges us to your glory. Help us be sensitive to your nudges this week. We're excited to see where you take us. We love you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.